sempre. Oh, you guarda nel tipo potenti villi dat lono, guarda nel tipo potenti villi dat lono, guarda nel tipo potenti villi dat lono, guarda nel tipo. You're listening to a throwback episode of Bound by Books, originally broadcast on September 16th, 2013.
Radio station, what? Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported, hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Antonia, and I'm really not that smart today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm also from Hudson. Yeah.
How is that possible?
I know, right?
It's crazy. I'm Emily.
Really?
I think I'm okay smart today. Although I'm getting over a cold, so my brain feels a little fuzzy from the past couple days.
Uh-oh.
But I'm getting over it, so that's the bonus.
Yeah.
Like, I feel good today. I can be upright.
Yeah. That's
and go true. Out into the world, which is always a good thing.
It's always a very good thing.
Yeah. But I'm...
Yeah.
I'm an adult. My name's Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, as well as being an adult.
Really?
Yes.
It'd be pretty cool if you were a kid and you were an adult and you're the director of the Hudson Area.
Guess what else I am?
What?
I'm a aunt again.
Really?
My sister had a baby.
Congratulations.
At 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And her name is Mila Quinn Frumpkin.
Frumpkin?
That's her last name.
Frumpkin?
But her middle name is Quinn, like our friend Quinn.
Oh,
who sometimes Quinn. Is on Bound by Books with us.
Hi, Quinn.
Hi,
and then
Quinn.
Sometimes there's other people. Like Ingrid
mm-hmm.
and Mamuda
mm-hmm.
and previously Maddie and sometimes
Gina
Moshi and yeah, Gina and like all these really cool people who aren't here today because they don't love us.
That's not true.
I think
but we do miss them.
We do. Miss you guys.
Come see us.
Come,
talk
please.
Books.
Yeah, and so they're normally here, actually, occasionally here, every Monday from 3:30 to 4, talking about books. Books we love, books we're currently reading,
all
that
good
stuff.
Woo! Hooray.
Yeah, so today it's Monday.
It is.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like a Monday even though we're here.
Really? I agree. I really agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the show, we should play that song about Monday.
Which one is that?
what's it called? Like Manic Monday or something?
We'll see if that's possible.
Yay!
It may or may not be.
Hooray.
No promises.
Okay.
Anyways.
Yeah.
How is life treating you, Antonia?
Like a human.
Yeah,
pretty well, actually, I believe. Yes. Many books. I didn't actually read that much this weekend. Surprise! Oh my gosh. Because I was at my friend's house. But I read a lot in I read like 3 books the past week. And then also the week before that. So that's like 6 books in 2 weeks. So I was taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I was just taking a break. That ended up being really long because I could never get back into the book I was reading. Probably because I read the first 3 in like a week. So then the last one, it's like, I know you people are doing stuff. But it's still a really good book. Actually, it's sort of overrated, but it's still pretty good.
This is the third Maximum Ride book
that
you're talking about?
I am.
What's the name of that one? I know we had Angel Experiment and School's
Actually,
Out Forever.
I think it's the I think it's the 4th one.
Okay.
Or because there's Maximum Ride, the Angel Experiment, then there was School's Out Forever, and then there was another one, and now I'm reading The Final Warning. Did I?
There's a lot of those books.
Yeah, there's like 7. The last 3 are like about Angel and Max and Fang.
I'm curious if he writes them himself or not.
Yeah.
James Patterson. Because he has so many books that come out, and sometimes there's a co-author listed, and sometimes there aren't. And I don't know if he has, like, ghostwriters or not.
Yeah, that would be scary and evil.
I've met a ghostwriter before.
Really?
But they could not tell me about their ghostwriting projects. They could only tell me that they had them in progress, but it was too, you know, you can't tell people.
That's,
when you're a ghostwriter, that's like ghostwriter 101.
But that would be, I feel like it would be horrible to be a ghostwriter, because you write all this lovely stuff, and then people are just like, oh yeah, this other guy is so awesome. And you're like, I wrote that, guys. I think that
Well, hopefully you get paid well for it, at least.
Yeah.
And you get to maybe try out new things sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because trying out new things is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So was the other book that you wanted to talk
about? The other book that I wanted to talk about was, let's see, I talked about Burning Up, right? I believe I did.
I don't know if you did. I don't think you did.
I didn't?
No. You could talk about that one if you want.
I could. So, Burning Up is like this book. It's by Caroline B. Cooney. And it is about this girl who lives in 1997. And she has a name that I don't remember what it is. And she lives somewhere over the rainbow. I don't know where she lives. Anyway, her grandparents live on this road called Shell Road. Ah, and they like to bake food and make food. And she goes to school and does stuff and is in Saturday group. And there's this guy with a name that I also don't remember. No, Austin. His name's Austin. Yeah, like Texas. And, he is really cute, but, like, he's been coming around a lot, but she doesn't really know him that well. So she wants to get to know him, and he wants to get to know her, because they're so cute, oh my goodness. And there's this old barn that burnt down, and she's all like, I wonder what happened to that old barn. And then they, she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to research this. So, because they have a history project in which they need to research local history. So she decides to research the barn, so she goes and asks a bunch of people, but nobody knows, nobody says anything. They're just all like, oh yeah, that old fire. I don't really remember too well, it was just a barn that was there. And it's not, I don't know. So they're all like mysterious and stuff. So she's like, what? So then that makes her even more interested in it. So, she's trying to figure out the history of this old barn, but she's also trying to be all flirtatious for Austin and stuff. And then there's another fire in the church that she was painting in this bad neighborhood. And it was actually happened when she was painting there, and they thought it was arson. So, then she was in the church, but she got out okay, and so did everyone else who was painting. But so, that sort of linked her to the barn fire more and made her feel more about it, because then she'd experienced a fire too. And it was one of the battle books.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read it in one day, and like, it was strange. It wasn't like a really bad book, but it wasn't like amazingly fabulous, wonderful book either. So when I was done, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, what a waste of time, but I wasn't like, whoa, that was crazy. I was just like, well, that was nice. Yeah, finished one of the battle books. Okay, I wonder what the next one is. You know, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I have to tell everyone all about this. But, yeah, so I thought it was pretty average. Uh-huh. I would recommend it to teachers who want to read books to their children, their teaching children, because it was even though it was in the 70s or no even though it was in the 90s, 97 even though it was in 97, it was sort of historical, because the barn she was learning about burnt down in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a lot of this, it had a lot of information about what it was like in the 50s. So it was pretty informative because she was trying to learn about it. Mm-hmm. So you learned through her. And it also had a lot to do with, like, blacks in the 50s and stuff. Because she thinks that there is a tie with that and the barn.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's very learning-y.
Informational.
Learning-y. Yes. Gosh, Emily.
Sorry.
What sort of a word did you just make up?
So I have a question.
Yes.
Because it's set in the, you said the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel dated at all? Like, did it read like a contemporary novel, or did it read historical fiction?
it felt sort of dated because a lot of it was like, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to use the computer at school. And then her friend was all like, well, in my school, we don't have computers and this is crazy. And her grandparents were all like, let's bake cookies, yay. And they talked sort of funny, and like everything with the technology was like way different.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really like, yeah, you could just tell sort of. So it did read sort of, yeah, historically, even though it was just in the late 90s.
Yeah. The, yes. One of the MCs at the Battle of the Books was Susanna from Oblong Books.
Hey.
And between battles, she was reading a book, I forget the title of, but it was also set in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And she said it was the first book that she's read set in the 90s where it really feels like historical fiction.
Yeah.
Because she kept thinking to herself, why don't they just text that person? Come on. But we didn't have that back then. Mm-hmm. Back in the old days, the 90s.
Back then, that was crazy, man. A long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same within this book. Like, they would always be calling each other and stuff. So, yeah. I would recommend it to teachers. Because the kind I've known from experience that the type of books that teachers like to make their children read are historical books that are not particularly amazing, but that aren't like, oh, this is such a horrible book. They're just sort of like,
So do you think the teachers really like those books and that's why they suggest them? Or do you think that the kids that they suggest them to will like it or would benefit from it? Like, why do you think teachers are drawn to those books?
I think that they think that the kids will like it because they don't know anything. That's a lie. They know very much. But I think the kids will like it because actually I talked to one of my teachers about that one time. So there's this book called Out of the Dust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually did enjoy it, but she made a lot of other kids read it and they didn't really like it at all. But there was this very traumatic moment with a mother, and mm-hmm. I think she thought that they would like that because they would be like, whoa, this is so cool, there's all this fire and stuff. But really, I think they just thought it was really historical and weird. Mm-hmm. So like this book, I think that teachers would think that their kids would like it because there's like this sort of romancy thing going on and there's like fire and stuff. So they'll be like, whoa, kids love that.
It's a little bit of a mystery involved with the barn, right?
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's a mystery sort of. And so, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
It reminded me of a book I would read for school.
I have a book with me that maybe you read for school, but I'm not sure. But a lot of people, I think, do read it in school. And I never did. And I always knew about it. I think my sister read it. But I don't remember reading it myself. That's set in the Catskills, which is cool.
You know,
and it's
just
a Newbery Honor book.
Really?
And it is a favorite of Antonia's.
And it looks, that's a really funky cover for it.
I like the cover of this one. It's pretty colors,
it's
blues
so
and greens.
It's so pretty, because I've never seen that book with the same cover. Mine was all brown and ugly.
Yeah, I like this cover a lot. But the book is My Side of the Mountain by Jean Craighead George. And It takes place in the Catskills over by, I don't know if it's pronounced Delhi or Delhi.
I don't
New York.
Know
you know how there's all these places.
Delhi. I pronounce it.
I will call it Delhi, but you know how things go in the Hudson Valley, New York.
Yes, we do.
Sometimes we say stuff differently. But it's about a young man. I think he's 12.
It's funny to hear about him.
Is that how old he is?
It's funny to hear about him being 12 because I read it when I was really young. Mm-hmm. So his age seemed like he's this big guy. But when I think of him being 12, I'm just like, what? He was like 15, man.
I'm trying to figure out if I'm making that up. but I remember him being 12.
Right.
And he decides he's not happy in his home life in New York City. And he decides to run away to the Catskill Mountains to live out in the woods on like an old family farmland. So there's no building there or anything. It's just the land that was once owned. It's called Gribbley's, right? That sounds right. Gribbley's Farm. And so the book sort of recounts his times and him like figuring out how to like hunt and forage and make his home. And he has a friend named Frightful.
Really?
Who's a bird.
Oh, I think that I need to read that book again because I love it so much. I think I've read it like 5 times. And it's so good. Oh my gosh. I haven't read it in like 3 years. I'm getting really happy now.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun.
Do you remember where he lives?
In
what his home is?
He lives in a tree.
Yes.
And
the hemlock tree.
I find it very humorous because they describe it as being like the size of a like redwood tree. But
yeah, this says it's 6 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
And must be as old as the mountain itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked to Quinn, who's a bit of, she's our expert, our resident expert on the Catskills, because she lives up in the mountains. And she said that she doesn't think there's many trees that size. But maybe back when the book was written, maybe there were more.
Yeah.
She said a lot of people came in and cut down trees.
Yeah. Because
this book's old.
It is?
The original copyright is 1959.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's crazy.
And it's interesting because I also I didn't feel like this did feel that dated.
It really didn't.
I mean, in part, I guess, because he's living in the woods.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really talk much about his home life in it. It's pretty focused on his time in the woods.
When I read that book, I so badly wanted to go live in the woods with him. He was like my book boyfriend, and I wanted to go live in the woods with him and like kill squirrels and pet birdies and like fish
squirrel
and stuff.
Killer.
Fun. Oh my gosh.
See, I was the opposite. I read this book and I was like, I would not want to live out in the woods. I can go camping once in a while, and I like the idea of learning about foraging or like using things from the woods, but I have no interest in hunting my food or like sleeping in the cold. Making a fire every night.
I thought it sounded so
But I'm
fun.
Glad he had a good time.
Yeah. It's very, like, there's drawings in it too, like little diagrams and stuff, like, this is how you make a fishing hook out of a branch. And I was always curious, like, is the author really smart? In like living in the woods, or is he just like making up stuff that makes sense, or did he like research it? I don't know.
He does. But it does seem like he did some research. He also goes to the library sometimes.
What?
He goes to the library sometimes.
The what?
In Delhi,
Whoa.
New York,
really?
Which is an actual library. It
That's
is not in
so
our library system.
Cool.
I looked it up because I wanted to know. If they really had a library.
Oh yeah,
the
guy in the book goes to the library to find out some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yes. And I guess Jean Craighead George also did the illustrations.
Really?
Interesting. They're very nice. And yeah, some of them are sort of pictures of scenes and some of them look almost like drawings that he would do in his journal.
Oh yeah, because he had a lovely journal that was like on birch,
mm-hmm.
and on a piece of birch, and he had like something that he would write on it with.
Yeah, I'm trying to find an example one. So, this device is set along an animal's runway. game snare beat. This one will work sometimes too. Mm-hmm. So little pictures of devices for catching his food. And I like the little journal entries he does. A lot of it's told through these little journal entries.
Yeah.
And he has very few run-ins with humans during his time there.
But occasionally he does. Mm-hmm. And then he tries to stay away from them, but not very many at all, actually.
Yeah. It's a pretty neat book. And it's, I found myself learning stuff about the Catskills that I didn't know about. Like at one point he talks about flying squirrels and I was like, there's flying squirrels up this way? I thought they were just in the Pacific Northwest. So I looked up flying squirrels and it turns out there are some in the Northeast. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Or that there were trees big enough that you could make a home in them.
In the 50s, that
is. At least in the 50s.
Yeah. I always fantasized about living in the mountains like that guy. Sounds so fun. Actually, it sounds really horrible. But, like, yeah. I thought it was so cool. It was very well written, too.
Mm-hmm. I like the author's, she has, like, a little note at the beginning. It says, when I was in elementary school, I packed my suitcase and told my mother I was going to run away from home. As I envisioned it, I would live by a waterfall in the woods and catch fish on hooks made from the forks of tree limbs, as I had been taught by my father. I would walk along or among the wildflowers and trees, listen to the birds, read the weather report in the clouds and the wind, and stride down mountainsides independent and free. Wisely, my mother did not try to dissuade me. She had been through this herself. She checked my bag to see if I had my toothbrush and a postcard to let her know I was getting along and kissed me goodbye. 40 minutes later, I was home. And I guess her daughter went through the same thing in elementary school and came back right away.
Me too.
You ran away to the woods?
Uh-huh.
Almost?
Uh-huh. Yep. And, yeah.
How long did that last?
About 40 minutes. But it was like a regular thing. Like, I would do it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom would be the same. She'd be all like, oh, that's nice, honey. Have fun. Yeah.
I'm curious what it was like with his character leaving home.
I know.
You know, because you do sort of learn a little bit about his parents in this, and they seem relatively supportive of him, like, living off the land. Like, I feel like if I really ran away and was living in the woods for a long time, my parents would be so mad at me when they found me.
I feel like if I ran away and was living in the woods for a long time, and, like, I was actually gone and not just, like, gone for 40 minutes, my mom would probably, like, call the cops and form a search party for me. And then they would be like, oh my gosh, did you get abducted? And I'd be like, hey, want a marshmallow?
You'd bring marshmallows with you?
Of course. Who wouldn't?
I picture you living off of, you know, you catch your squirrels, you know, because that's your game. So you eat squirrels. And, you know, wild roots and marshmallows.
Yes.
Yes, a balanced diet.
It is. It's very balanced. Yeah.
So what did you like about this as a kid?
Well,
is it just your dream of moving that never happened? Or, and your boyfriend, of course.
Yes, Sam. And my boyfriend, Sam, who is so awesome and cool. And I don't know what I liked about it. I just really liked it. Yeah, there's a second one, too. I didn't think the second one was as good. It sort of revolved around the bird, and it was like, yo, guys.
Oh, yeah, it's Frightful's Mountain. I think it's from his perspective, or her perspective. I think Frightful's a... Oh, yeah, who knows what Frightful is.
It was from her perspective, which was weird, because one time I read a book from a cat's perspective. That was pretty neat. But, I don't know, that was the only one that really worked. It wasn't from a human's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Frightful is a bird, and she's just a, like, fly, worm, nest. I like how he got Frightful, because Frightful is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And she's a birdie.
She's a good sidekick.
She's a very good sidekick. She makes me feel happy, because he needs to have a friend. There needed to be, like, a second character, but he couldn't really have, like, another human, so they just brought a birdie.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Hooray. awesome. Well, so this is one that I could see teachers enjoying, like with Burning Up,
yes.
And students enjoying.
Really?
And everybody enjoying. I thought it was a great book. I kind of wanted to know a little bit more about Sam's life before going to the woods, but I don't think that was the point of this book.
But
that would have been an interesting.
It would. They should make like a
aspect of another book.
Like a pre. What do you call those? Like where you write like
yeah, prequel.
A book, a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
They should make one, because that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's about all the time we have for today.
It sure is.
Because it is really getting deep into the afternoon.
But guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? We have blog.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're curious as to maybe I did talk about Burning Up before, but I'm not sure. But if you want to find out, you can visit our blog and you can look at our archives and you could be like, whoa, she talked about that before. Cheater. And you know what our blog is?
It's I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Good for you.
We are bound by books.
.wordpress.com. Yeah.
So easy.
I know. It's amazing.
It's a little long.
It is a little long.
But we are bound by books.
And yes.
.wordpress.com.
We are. That is very true.
And that's where we post our archives of these shows. And every once in a while we have a review of a book that we haven't reviewed on the show.
Woo!
Those are fun.
I'll make one. Woo!
Mm-hmm. Sounds fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we hope you all have a good week. Mm-hmm. And we wish you many, many, many moments of happy reading.
Happy reading.
And lovely other things.
Happy reading. Bye.
Bye.